betting odds, line movement, futures, and more. It's everything you need to know about sports betting. It's The Money Line with Jim Irizarry on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT.
When you actually have your headphones plugged in. Hi, and welcome to it. This is The Money Line. I am Jim, and apparently I might have to do that cannonball into the murky waters of the CBI. Lock of the night comes up in about 20 minutes from now. We had Wednesday golf. WGC Dell Technologies Match Play Tournament. That teed off this morning down in Austin, Tejas. We'll recap day one, get you some odds coming up, or at least talk about the odds regarding this tournament. 11 games in the NBA, 5 in the NHL. A lot of NBA action tonight. Lots of basketball action tonight. Still got women's games, still have a CBI final. Woohoo! But first, I think it's time to put odds on how long Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are actually going to last in this upcoming NFL season for the Bears. Of course, you know by now that when the Bears signed Andy Dalton to be their quarterback for next season, your odds of winning the Super Bowl actually dropped from 40 to 1 to 50 to 1. Now, you know, a smart person wouldn't have bet on the Bears anyway. And especially not before we figured out how the Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson stories were going to play out. Granted, Deshaun Watson now has a slew of other troubles, sexual harassment, sexual assault, maybe charges coming, definitely lawsuits. Apparently, Seattle's asking for the moon as far as Russell Wilson goes. Not just the moon either, Saturn and Neptune thrown in. But the Bears should have been able to somehow get rid of Nick Foles. He's overpriced. He's got a cap hit of $6.7 million. And they had a familiar friend kicking the tires on Foles, too. That team being the Philadelphia Eagles. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, yeah, Philly would have taken Foles. Would have taken him. Would have gotten him off the Bears' hands. He's still wildly popular with Eagles fans, which that will happen when you help a team win its first Super Bowl. And that just happened not all that long ago. The Eagles then thought, wait a minute, timeout. If Hurts does something, anything, even remotely bad in a game, they're going to want Foles to start. And that's probably not what we want to do now. A rare moment of clarity these days for Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman. So they went out and signed Joe Flacco to back up Jalen Hurts. Plus, how many times can you go back to that well of Foles riding in on a white horse to save the day in Philadelphia? Although he's still got that dumb statue there. Instead, the Bears are saddled with a bad contract for a backup quarterback and haven't really made much of a splash on the free agent market at all. Sure, they signed Damian Williams, formerly of the Chiefs, and that should help with running back depth, but they're going on his 2019 performance. Williams opted out of last season due to COVID concerns, but apparently knows Matt Nagy's offense from his time in Kansas City and also played under Bears offensive coordinator Bill Lazor when they were both in Miami. But the Bears released Kyle Fuller. They had given permission to Akeem Hicks to seek a trade before Hicks basically decided to stick around. They put the franchise tag on Allen Robinson because they had to do something. Defense is getting older while the offense goes back and forth between neutral and a slow reverse. So I'm going to put it to you listening right now. Do Nagy and Pace make it through the season? Midway point? Maybe week 4? Pull up right now on the Twitter page, at the Moneyline 961. Go ahead and vote in that. They both beat the odds of being fired after last season. Crazier things happened. We thought that was a lock. Nagy and Pace getting fired after last season. Nah. All of my friends who are Bears fans are just resigned to a terrible 2021 season. They just want to hit that reset button so bad. They just want somebody new in there. They just want somebody who, you know, for being an offensive genius, actually looks like he knows how to run an offense. Ugh. Like I said, vote in the poll on the Twitter page, at the Moneyline 961. We'll talk about some games. Like I said, tons of NBA action, NHL, all that. Coming up right after this on the Moneyline on 96.1 WSBT.
It's the Moneyline with Jim Irizarry on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT.
In something that is kind of turning into, as always, my apologies for last night's Lock of the Night. Really, for most, if not all, of the locks, quite honestly. here I go being foolish for thinking three of the best teams in women's college basketball were going to cover. That's all they had. Just cover. After blowing everybody in their collective paths out of the water all season long. So, again, I apologize. I got a text from Vince D'Addario last night. And I think I texted him back the Hawk Harrelson quote, "You gotta be bleeping kidding me." Wrote bleeping, by the way, because that's the quote. A new Lock of the Night coming up in a few minutes, but first to golf. WGC Dell Technologies Match Play started down in Austin today. Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau both started the day as the 12-1 favorites, according to William Hill. John Rahm and Dustin Johnson were next at 14-1. Rory McIlroy at 20-1. Colin Morikawa at 22-1. Patrick Reed at 25-1. And Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, and Tony Finau all at 28-1. However, you're going to learn that you don't bet on match play. Rory lost to Ian Poulter today, 6-5. Dustin Thomas, he lost to Matt Kuchar, 3-2. Tony Finau lost to Dylan Fratelli, 6-5. Antoine Rosner finished 2-up on Bryson DeChambeau. Victor Hovland fell to Kevin Streelman, 4-2. So there's, you know, half of that top 10 right there lost today. It's a good thing that's a round robin. Dustin Johnson was 2-up on Adam Long. Colin Morikawa and JT Poston halved. John Rahm finished 1-up on Sebastian Munoz. Patrick Cantlay finished 1-up on Brian Harman. And Patrick Reed and Bubba Watson halved. So, like I said, half of the top 10 lost today. That's a good sign going into the weekend. That's a good sign going into Thursday. Blech. To the NBA, the association's deadline is coming up tomorrow at 3 p.m. The two biggest names who are likely being moved are Kyle Lowry of the Raptors and Victor Oladipo of the Rockets. Lowry's been the face of the franchise in Toronto for years now, which means that the Raptors are going to trade him to a place that he actually wants to go. Miami and Philadelphia are at the top of that list, as they're both contending in the Eastern Conference. That always helps. But Lowry's also from Philly and is also good friends with Jimmy Butler of the Heat. So that's why those two are at the top there. Where he's going to wind up probably depends on where Oladipo winds up, though. The Heat are also in on Oladipo, who might also wind up with the Knicks. Because why not? Oladipo is going to be an unrestricted free agent after the season, so obviously he's going to be moved. Basically, with Kyle Lowry, the Raptors are just saying, "We want you to win another one, so we'll go ahead and do this for you." For Lowry being traded by the deadline tomorrow, it's -140 for yes, even money for no, -300 for yes, -240 for no regarding Oladipo. So some trade odds right there for you to follow. 11 games on the court tonight. The Pistons are a 6-point underdog against the Pacers in Indianapolis tonight. Pacers are trying to stay in contention for the play-in tournament. They're tied for ninth in the East right now with Chicago. Just 4-6 in their last 10, and 4-4 as a home favorite this year. Meh. Take the Pistons to cover, maybe even win straight up. They're kind of spry and sneaky that way, those Pistons. Cleveland is at Chicago, where the Bulls are a 6-point favorite. I don't know how they're a 6-point. Oh, wait, that's right. Cleveland is just that bad. The Bulls, though, have been playing the same style as the Pacers of late. Crappy. Take the Cavs to cover the 6. Denver is at Toronto, which, of course, is playing in Florida. Makes sense. COVID restrictions and all. It's going south quickly for the Raptors, though. Toronto just gave up 117 points to Houston, who had previously lost 20 in a row. Denver has a much better offense, too. Nuggets have won 9 of their last 11. They're on the second night of a back-to-back. The Nuggets should win and cover tonight. Boston at Milwaukee. The Celtics have been dealing with health and safety protocols of late. They're going to be without Tristan Thompson due to injury, and Jason Tatum is returning from illness. Even though Giannis Antetokounmpo is questionable tonight, take the Bucks. Moneyline, cover, whichever. Phoenix is a 10-point favorite at Orlando, who's lost 9 of their last 10. The Magic are 4-3-1 against the spread lately, and 5-5 overall as a home underdog. The Magic should cover. I look at the over as 215.5, though. Take the over on that. Phoenix has just been putting up points. I was looking at their last 4, and it was like, 110, 104, 110, 111, all that. Just crazy numbers from Phoenix. So I think Orlando can at least get over 100 tonight. Dallas is at Minnesota. The Mavericks have averaged 120 points over their last 6 road games. Luka Doncic has at least 37 points in his last 3 games. Out of his mind right now. These teams blew out the over of 229 the last time they played, which was just a couple of weeks ago. So go over 231.5 for this one. Charlotte's at Houston. The Hornets are only a 3.5-point favorite, but Houston will probably hold Victor Oladipo out if they haven't already traded him. I haven't checked yet. Plus, they're still 1-20 in their last 21. A plus side for Houston, though. They've gone under the points in 3 of their last 4, so take the under on that. Memphis at Oklahoma City. Memphis is resting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They're still without Darius Bazley and George Hill, and they might be holding out even more with the trade deadline approaching. I don't trust Memphis to cover the 5 points, but they should win outright. OKC's really just got nothing right now. The Clippers are at San Antonio. San Antonio playing really good defense at home, allowing just 94.2 points per game over its past 4 home games. While unlikely to hold the Clippers to that meager output, San Antonio can allow some offense, and the game would still be projected to the under. LA is coming off a 119-110 win over Atlanta, in which the Clippers overcame a 22-point deficit. Teams that won after trailing by at least 20 points in their last game, are 120, 158, and 8 in the over-under. Just saying. Atlanta's favored by 3 at Sacramento. The Kings are only 7-14 against the spread. And they're without Marvin Bagley III and have to play small because of it. That's not going to work against Clint Capella and John Collins, who are both tall and large. Hawks cover and they win. Brooklyn is at Utah. The Nets are a 10-point underdog in Salt Lake City. Of course, that's without Kevin Durant. Still no Kyrie Irving. He's out at least the next couple of games dealing with that family stuff. James Harden is kind of dealing with some injuries too. So, neither team plays really well on defense either. So, take the Nets cover Hit the over of 230, though, because they both still like to put up a ton of points. In the NHL tonight, a couple of early starts because TV wanted triple headers in the middle of the week. Calgary and Ottawa started at 5 p.m., the Ducks and Wild at 5:30. Yeah, that first game of a triple header on a Wednesday is going to get just massive ratings. Maybe it's a good thing NBC has like lost the primary NHL TV contract to ESPN. Maybe. Anyway, in games still to come tonight, Buffalo is at Pittsburgh. The Sabres have lost their last 14. They're starting Dustin Tokarski in goal. He hasn't started a game in goal since the 2015-2016 season. Pittsburgh, of course, has been great at home, 12-3-1. They did lose to New Jersey the other night, but they're not going to give away another 3 points in the standings tonight. Just not. Plus, they're 3-0 against Buffalo this season with each win by three or more goals. You don't hear this very often from me regarding hockey scores either, but take the Pens on the goal line of a goal and a half. Kings are at San Jose. Los Angeles is better than the Sharks in the following areas. Offense, defense, power play, penalty killing, face-off winning percentage, and penalty minutes per game. King straight up. And Vancouver hosts Winnipeg. The Canucks have a goal differential of minus 16 and just kind of meh at home. 9-8-2 on the season. Jets have won 4-6 against Vancouver this year, and they're 2-1 as a road favorite this year. Canucks are 7-11 as a home underdog. Winnipeg should win, maybe even go over 5.5 goals on that game. So, tons of college basketball, both on the women's side and the men's side tonight. So we'll go to that. Lock of the night also on the way here on 96.1 WSBT with the money line.
Now, back to The Money Line with Jim Irizarry on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT.
Lock of the night in just a few minutes. Still got plenty of college basketball still to get through. Women's tournament dominating the NCAA schedule tonight. From earlier today, number two, Maryland over the 7-seed Alabama in the Hemisphere region, 100-64. In the Alamo region, number 7, Oregon pulling the upset over number 3, Georgia, 57-50. Number 5, Missouri State eliminated number 13, Wright State, 64-39. Also, number 4, Indiana in the Mercado region, they beat Belmont, the 12-seed, 70-48. Number 2, Louisville in the Alamo region. They beat Northwestern, the 7 seed, 62-53. Games tonight include, number 11, BYU, and number 3, Arizona, an 8.5-point spread there. And number 7, Iowa State, and number 2, Texas A&M, a 3.5-point spread there in the Mercado region. Number 6, Texas, and number 3, UCLA, a 6.5-point spread in the Hemisphere region. Just one game for the men, and that is the final of the CBI tournament between Pepperdine and Coastal Carolina. Pepperdine does have the two best players on the court in Colby Ross and Kessler Edwards. That sounds like a law firm, by the way, the law firm of Kessler Edwards. Anyway, those two guys are their two first-team all-WCC selections. Pepperdine won by 11 yesterday against Bellarmine. Coastal Carolina beat Stetson in overtime. The Chanticleers, they may have a better record, but they also played the 260th toughest schedule in the country. Pepperdine at least played the 107th tough schedule. Pepperdine also beat BYU in California and took UCLA to overtime. And did I mention that they have the two best players on the court? The Waves are favored by 4.5. The over-under is 151.5. If you actually wanted to watch this game, you actually can! I found it! It took some digging. And some major excavation equipment, too. That's going to be murder on the credit report right there. But I found out that flowsports.tv has the exclusive broadcast of this game. So, you know, there's that. That brings me to tonight's lock of the night. About last night's lock, again, sorry. Sorry for being so foolish to think that the three best teams in women's college basketball would each cover. I'm such a fool. The murky waters of the CBI, they do look tempting, don't they?
Cannonball!
But come on! I want to maintain some sort of dignity in my betting life. No, I will not be purifying myself in the murky waters of the CBI. Instead, I'm going with some NBA action. Taking Denver to cover, and also Phoenix and Orlando to go over 215.5. And I'm taking Dallas and Minnesota to go over 231. Because it's either that, or I become that guy. You know that guy. That guy is the guy at the end of the bar yelling at the TV, ruining everybody's nice evening because Pepperdine isn't covering or Coastal Carolina pulls an upset or whatever and is losing money because of it and is also teaching your kids some new colorful words. I flat out refuse to lose money because of the CBI. Say what you want about the NIT, but it's been around a lot longer. Longer than the actual NCAA tournament, in fact. And it also doesn't require me to make an account and watch something on flowsports.tv. I can turn on ESPN and watch the NIT. That's back in action tomorrow, by the way. Most importantly, I don't become that guy. I don't turn into Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. I don't turn into Howard. In fact, spoiler alert, the movie's only been out for 1.5 years. He dies in the end! Like I said, spoiler alert, you could have turned it down. Anyway, on that note, that concludes tonight's Moneyline. Of course, get the podcast version at WSBTradio.com. Follow the show on both Twitter and Instagram, at the Moneyline 961. Don't forget the poll on the Twitter page. You can vote on how long you think Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace will last in Chicago this year. The options are Week 4, Week 8, Week 12, or the end of the season. If you think something else, feel free to reply. Go right ahead. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. right here on 96.1 WSBT. We'll join Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, already in progress.
You've been listening to The Moneyline with Jim Irizarry on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. Catch the podcast at WSBTradio.com.